by the grace of God, continue to preach in your hearing a series titled Make America Godly Again. And then and only then will America be great again. Part 3, Praying Through the Bible, number 364. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. The Holy Bible reads, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Holy Father God, help the saints here to pray throughout this time while I am preaching. For as always, the devil is attacking, trying to hinder your gospel and your work from going forth. And so, Lord, help everybody to take heed to this passage and help everybody to not only pray for us and our service here and what we do here, but to pray for the people who are listening around the world and who will listen, that they would understand that what we do here affects them. And so, Holy Father God, we pray. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, and his demons and his hosts, as they are fighting hard to hinder your holy gospel and your holy word from going forward. Lord, rebuke and bind the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, Sanballat and Tobias, from this place and from this time, from the minds of even your people. And Lord, I do know that in this prosperity gospel day, this anti-biblical day, this anti-Bible day we live in, people do not want to hear things like that. But the reality is, the devil is fighting hard against your church. And even though your church will always stand and your gospel will always stand, some are falling by the wayside. Almost every week now we hear of so-called ministers committing suicide, getting out of the ministry, marriages are busted up through adultery, and now some are blatantly just denying the faith, as your holy word predicted. Well-known people who used to believe in you for years, decades, and now they're falling apart. Whole conferences are given over to pastors who are discouraged because primarily they have not taken your holy word seriously, your holy Bible seriously. And they think this is a game, and it's about them and about gaining money and prosperity, when you've made it very clear to us that is not what it is about. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, today from this time of preaching and singing and praying, for so much goes on before we even preach here that the people out there don't see and don't hear. So, Lord, we pray that you would protect all of the pipes and wires and cables and everything, satellites and all of the stuff that you have wrought through man to get your gospel message out to all corners of the world. And we pray that over 3 million lost people would hear the gospel through this ministry alone and be saved. And we pray for multiplied millions more to be saved through other ministries. And we pray, Lord, that over 3 million Christians would hear the preaching that is for them. For example, this message. And that they would start praying again and give themselves an opportunity to be revived again by your might and your power. Help us all to get back to you, our first love. Continue to break us, make us, and mold us to be what you'll have us to be, and your faithful one who will endure until the end. Glorify your holy name. Thank you for the song we sung earlier, Blessed Be the Name. Through sunshine and rain, we're going to give you the praise. And we thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I am still preaching in your hearing. Make America Godly Again, Part 3, Praying Through the Bible. Number 364. That's every Wednesday night. My oldest son tells me, over 6 years now, I believe. And if we make America godly again, then America will be great again. And not until then. Dr. Gernall said, we stand at better advantage to find truth and keep it also when devoutly praying to God for it, instead of fiercely fighting, wrangling, and contending about it, as so many of us love to do. He said, disputes toil the soul and raise the dust of passion. Prayer sweetly composes the mind and lays to rest the passions which disputes draw forth. End of quote. And I would add, it's okay to contend for the faith, for that's what God commands us to do. But make sure you're contending for the faith and you're not contending for your feelings being hurt. For we do have an army of touchy-feely Christians today. But most of all, pray. First of all, pray for the faith. Beloved, most Christians in America today would agree, born-again ones would agree, that the nation is moving further away from its godly heritage. And we have never been perfect. We've always had issues from the very beginning. However, at the same time, much good has been wrought from the founding of this country called America. In spite of ourselves, in spite of white folks, in spite of black folks, in spite of red folks and yellow folks and brown folks, God has blessed America. But as I preached on July the 4th, we have not blessed God. And you might as well just say amen about it. Amen, somebody. God has been good to us. And I thank Him every day. I really do. I'm amazed at the blessings that God has bestowed upon this country. I stand amazed at the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the blessings that God has bestowed upon this country and that He has bestowed upon me personally by being born in this country. God has given me the privilege to travel the world. And there's no other country I would rather live in than in America. Because in America, not only was I born free, I am free. And God has blessed me tremendously. You can't do what I do and get to do what I do in most countries of the world that I can do in America freely. Believe me when I tell you that a poor man in America is rich in many parts of the world. Seriously. Be that as it may, however, if we want to make America godly again, the solution we must seek is not a political one, which so many Christians believe is the solution. It is not one that can be provided through the legislative body, the executive or judicial branches, on neither the state or federal level. If that were the case, then America would be godly again already and would not be getting worse. If America is to be godly again and thus great again, Christians must follow the plan set down in God's Word. Whether you like it or not, it's not your way. It's not your world. It's God's world. And that starts with prayer to God Almighty. By the way, with confession of sin, admitting your, not just our sins, but admitting your sins, your pharisaic pride, your stubbornness, your rebelliousness, husbands who don't love their wives, wives who don't respect their husbands and submit to them, children who do not respect or obey either one. All that has to cease in the Christian home, in the Christian community, in the Christian church. We have what we have today, churches that call themselves churches, but they have no commitment to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Everything is loosey-goosey, living like the judges, doing what is right in their own sight and their own mind. Family is shot to hell in most churches today, even the mega, especially the mega churches. And what pastors do is, instead of trying to correct the problem and stop the tsunami of destruction in so-called Christian marriages and families, they encourage it by disobeying God's word and marrying one divorce devil to another divorce devil and mixing up families that should not even know each other, much less be in the same household. We have divorce care as a ministry now, when the ministry ought to be avoid divorce at all costs. And start sitting down with folk and apply some biblical behavior, psychology, if you will, and say to them, these couples who act like, who are acting like children, say quite frankly to them, I'm not going to be a part of your sin. I was there when you made your vows to God, and I'm not going to be a part of your breaking your vows to God. And so here's what we're going to do. Number one, it doesn't matter how you feel, Christian man or Christian woman, or both. It does not matter what you think. And it does not matter what you intend to do. What matters is your behavior, what you do. And with Jesus Christ in your life, you have the power to do it. There's no excuse. So stay together for the glory of God. And yes, stay together for your children, because you're getting ready to launch off into something that's going to be a source of hellacious pain in your life and in the lives of your children and your grandchildren for years to come, until you go under the dust. In fact, it will take you to your grave. And there's a host of other things like that in the church that need to be dealt with forthrightly. No. We need to tell some folks, no. Not only are you going to do it, not only am I going to tell you to do it, you're going to do it. You're going to get your heart right with God if you are a Christian, and you're going to do this. You're going to do the right thing. That's if you're a born again child of God. If not, you're not going to be here much longer. Because, as someone said recently, not only does Christ save us from hell, he said, God is not, Jesus is not just in the passport business, okay? Like the post office, passing out passports for you to go to heaven. No. After you are saved by Jesus, my beloved, it's time to serve him. And that means you're going to have to sacrifice some things. You're going to have to do some things you don't like doing. You may not want to stay with your wife, but you need to do so in obedience to God, so as not to offend God, so that you can and your family can continue to enjoy the blessings of God on your family. And on I can go about many other problems in the church. Sin problems, rebellious problems, stubborn problems, racism problems, hatred problems, that goes on and on and on. Be that as it may, Paul writes to Timothy, I exhort, therefore, here's the cure, here's the solution, that first of all, most importantly, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made. And as I pointed out last week, I believe with all of my heart, the biggest problem, and there's not a pastor who would disagree with me, not one, if they are truly saved and born again, there's not a pastor who would disagree with me. The biggest problem in the church is first and foremost that the pastor himself is not praying, the pastor's family is not praying together, and many people, therefore, in the church are not praying. And in the words of Leonard Ravenhill, if you're not praying, you are playing and you are straying. Amen, somebody. Oh, yes. That's the problem. See. This is why, by the grace of God, I've done nearly 2,000 prayer motivator podcasts. Because the most difficult thing that you will do in the Christian faith, number one is prayer, number two is witness to other people. The main two things that God wants you to do. And of course, obeying God. But I would put that, I guess I would have to put it first. Because if you're not praying, you're disobeying. If you're not witnessing, you're disobeying. Now, over the past 6+ years, according to my oldest son, Daniel White IV, he's the one who keeps up with all of this. The Praying Through the Bible series that we do every Wednesday, we have discussed the nuances in the different types of prayer that Paul mentions here several times. In fact, that's why we started this series, because most people don't pray. You say, preacher, how do you know that? From traveling across the country in white churches, black preaching in white churches, black churches, mixed churches, all kinds of churches, and around the globe. I was invited to preach in Belgium, over in Europe. And when the pastor picked me up from the airport, he was honest. And he told me, he said, preacher, I got you over here to preach this revival, but I don't know if I want revival myself. He frankly and honestly told me that to my face. I said, you invited me all the way over here to Belgium to preach a revival, and you don't know if you want revival yourself? I said that in my mind. I was so shocked. We were driving in the car. I was riding in the car with him back to his house. And then he mentioned to me, in every revival that I preach and have preached in the past, the first thing I'm going to preach on is prayer, and the second thing is going to be the family. For these are the two big problems in every church. He told me, in fact, he's not the only one. I've had at least, I can't even remember, 3 or 4 more pastors tell me on their own after the sermon that I would preach on prayer. Preacher, they would come to the altar themselves with their wives. And they would tell me privately, because you know we have to, after every meeting we have to go eat. They would tell me at Denny's, preacher, that message you preached on tonight, man, that's a real problem for me. I really struggle with that prayer thing. It blew my mind. It blew my mind when I first heard it. And I kept hearing it. And so if the pastor is not praying, if the pastor and his wife and children are not praying, they don't have family devotions. Well, you know the church is not praying, so therefore we have the problems that we have today in the church. The biggest problem in the church today is prayerlessness. And we all know it. And by the way, let me just remind you, God always uses a people. God used the Israelites and blessed the whole world to this day. Many of the blessings we enjoy is because of the Israelites. And God is using now the church, and has been for many years. Hospitals and universities come through the church. Many ministries and outfits, such as the Salvation Army, comes through the church. God has blessed the entire world through the church. God always uses a people to change things. And so, God wants to use the church today. The world, I mean, they're going to do what they do, man. Crazy talk. All the craziness that's going on in the political realm today. All of the craziness that's happening. People running people down and stabbing them. And just yesterday in Hong Kong, police officer was trying to get order. Somebody just was so bold, they took the man's baton out of his hand and started beating up on the man, on the police officer. We're living in perilous times. That's what the world does. So God uses a people, and God wants to use us. I'm not preaching to the world right now. I'm going to preach to the world in a minute and share the gospel. That's all they need to hear is the gospel. But if the church is messed up and we got sin in our lives and we're acting like the world and looking like the world, well, the world really does not want to hear anything we have to say. And by the way, let me say, if many black pastors did not handle the presidency of Obama correctly, and many white pastors are not handling the presidency of Trump correctly, and for years to come, on both sides, if you will, the black side and the white side in this country called America, many people are not going to listen to anything that these preachers have to say. If you can't stand up flat-footed and rebuke, support the president if you want to, vote for him if you want to, love him if you want to, but rebuke the daylights out of him when he says stupid things and does stupid things publicly. You stand for him publicly, rebuke him publicly. And if you don't handle that right, you're gonna lessen your witness for Christ in America and in the world. And the world is watching. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to spend a lot of time going over the different definitions of these, the definitions of these words that Paul is using, inspired by the Holy Spirit, again, because we've dealt with it quite a bit. As they say, get the tape. But here is a summary from the Holy Bible. Here's a summary, rather, not from the Holy Bible, but from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. The word supplications carry the idea of offering a request for a felt need. Prayers is the most common term for this activity, and it emphasizes the sacredness of prayer to God, communicating with God. It is an act of worship, not just an expression of our wants and needs. a whole lot goes on in prayer. You want to worship God, start praying. Not just singing, but praying. Intercession is best translated praying for others. And not just ourselves. Petitions. The basic meaning is to draw near to a person and converse confidently with him. And that is to draw near to God and to talk to God about not only your needs but others. Giving of thanks is when we not only give thanks for answers to prayer, but for who God is and what he does for us by his grace. Amen, somebody. Please understand that all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon you is by his grace, by his mercy, because of his love for you. It's not because of what you have done, you wretched sinner, you. There's a ministry called Wretched. I love it. I love the name. I love it. Wretched. Because we are wretched, aren't we? Let's tell the truth and shame the devil. To whom are we to apply all of these aspects of prayer? Paul says that they ought to be applied to all men. All men, black men and white men, red men and yellow men, brown men, all men, everybody, men and women, boys and girls. For many Christians, this passage is the go-to passage to pray for presidents and government leaders, and it should be, and we should pray for our president and government leaders on a daily basis, whether we voted for them or not, whether we support them or not. We ought to pray for them. This thing that's happening in our country today, where white folks did not pray for the black president, now we got black folks who don't pray for the white president, that's of the devil, people. That has nothing to do with Christianity. This thing that you hate a president so much you refuse to pray for him is of the devil. It is not of God at all. But God makes it clear in this passage that he wants us to pray for all men first. And that includes women, boys, and girls. All people. Somebody asked the other day the question, what are we going to do with Beth Moore? Well, I don't agree with what Beth Moore is doing myself, but what you need to do is pray for Beth Moore. The best way to show respect for people is to pray for them. And God wants us to pray for everybody, men and women, boys and girls, everywhere. All people. In addition to that, sadly, some Christians have a bad habit of praying only for those people we like and those people who we think need it the most. Some believers don't pray as much as they ought to for those who are poor and suffering. And then some believers certainly don't pray for those we consider our mortal enemies. except to be delivered from their schemes. But we don't pray for them to get saved and to get their hearts right with God, unfortunately. But the Bible says we ought to offer supplications, intercessions, and thanksgiving and prayers to God for all men, all women, all boys and girls, all people. So before we march against the people, we think are destroying America, we ought to pray for them. They don't know any better. Have you forgotten when you were lost? You did things you just didn't know any better. You thought it was a sin not to sin. You were just like me. You thought it was evil not to commit fornication. You thought it was wrong not to get drunk and go partying all night long until it was 4 o'clock in the morning. And you condemned those who didn't go with you. So before we rally against the people who oppose Christian values, biblical values, and march on Washington, we ought to intercede for them. The biggest problem with racism in the church today is not that we don't get together enough. Just check your prayer times and ask yourself, do you pray for the black race in your community? Do you pray for white folks in your community? And do you pray for the brown folks and the yellow folks and the red folks? You know of ministries in your town that are reaching different groups of people. Do you pray for them? Are you a rich church that can send over $3,000 or help them pay their building off? Before we drag someone to court claiming that they are persecuting us, we ought to thank God for them and pray for them. Have you gotten to the point in your life where you thank God for your enemies? You thank God for the Judases in your life. You thank God for the thorns in the flesh in your life. I pray that you'll get to that point. It's a beautiful place to be. Before we in our righteous anger respond to a post in social media that we disagree with, no matter how much we think we are backed up by Scripture, we ought to pause and offer supplication and prayers on behalf of the person who wrote the post. Oftentimes you will be amazed that God will tell you, okay, I have taken care of it, just leave it alone, don't respond. How many of you have learned that oftentimes in life you got to take the wisdom of Solomon and have one eye open, one eye closed, one ear open, one ear closed kind of a thing? And I'm paraphrasing it, the principle, knowing that people that even you know will rise up and curse you and betray you. And how many of you have learned from God that sometimes it's best just to leave it alone and let them curse you? David learned it. Don't say anything. Just ride on. And do like David also and encourage yourself in the Lord. Stop responding to everything, every attack. Some people are not worth punching down to, and quite frankly, President Trump needs to learn it. that some people are not worth even responding to. We don't need a president, we don't need a pastor, we don't need an evangelist, anybody in leadership always punching down at the little people who are always attacking you. Now, if they're saying something you need to hear and you know you're wrong, you need to apologize, you need to confess it as sin to God, and you need to repent. Why is it important to pray for all men? Because when we pray for someone, we bring that person before the mercy seat, God's throne of grace, with us. We open the door for God to speak to us about that person and for God to speak to that person. And let me tell you something. Nobody can speak to that person better than God, including you. Pastor Hamilton, Pastor Andrew Hamilton, told his wife one time, she was nagging him and rebelling against him and giving him such a hard time. He started praying, and after he finished praying, he told us, he looked at his wife and said, "Wife, God told me to leave you alone." Oh boy, she got mad as the devil. She said, "God ain't never told a man to leave his wife alone." And he looked back at her and said, "Well, God just told me to leave you alone." And he just started praying for her, and she started changing. And I've seen that same thing many times over in my own life and in the ministry. In fact, the only reason why my wife and I are together for 33 years, 7 children, 4 have graduated from college, and 3 more are going to college, and with great accomplishments by the grace of God, in spite of the devil attacking this family. The only reason why we're still together, and the only reason why we have enjoyed the success in ministry, or I have enjoyed the success in ministry that God has blessed me to enjoy, is because of prayer. There's no human reason why we should be together. There's no human reason that even some of these children should even be here. And there's no reason why, no human reason why God would use me the way he has, other than through prayer to him on a daily basis, all day long, praying without ceasing. And God will do the same for you. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. But don't give up. Put your faith and trust in God. Have faith in God. We also create an opportunity for us to see that person as God sees them. And we create an opportunity also for the person to see themselves for what they are. And it doesn't always have to be someone with whom we have a major spiritual or ideological or theological disagreement. It might be the neighbor who walks his dog on your lawn and lets same dog use the bathroom on your beautifully manicured lawn. It might be the family member who you think is the personification of Satan. It might be the strange person that you don't even know who has brought a frivolous lawsuit against you. Or it might be that you are black and the other person is white. Or that you are white and the other person is black, and you're like the white preacher who recently was honest and said he was going to struggle with the sin of racism for the rest of his life. Before we respond, beloved, before we react, We ought to stop and pray. Ask yourself today, am I praying for all men? Or am I just praying for my four and no more? Am I praying for all people, including those that I don't like or agree with? Samuel Francis Smith wrote, "My country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees. Sweet freedom's song, let mortal tongues awake. Let all that breathe partake. Let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King." Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts as your people to get back to the prayer closet, to get back to prayer, not only praying for ourselves, but praying for others. We all know that America will be a better country and the world will be a better world if we in your church had taken you seriously about the matter of prayer. From Genesis to Revelation, as has been proven, you talked much about prayer and you told us to pray. Jesus Christ, our Savior, said men ought always to pray, gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, "Ask and ye shall receive, seeking ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Pray without ceasing, pray always." And yet, Lord, we have disobeyed your clear commandment to pray, and therefore we're in the mess we're in America and in the world. Lord, help us who are truly born again and saved and who are under conviction from this message to start praying again, no matter how tough, no matter how difficult and painful it will be. For your glory, your praise and honor, and for this country. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord in the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We all have sinned against God. We all have disobeyed God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. That's why one day, dear friend, you will have a tombstone. And there'll be a dash on it in between the day you were born and the day you died. We die because of our own sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to heaven or hell. Yeah. If we trust Christ as Savior, we'll go to heaven in this life. If we trust Christ as Savior in this life, we'll go to heaven. If we reject Christ, we will go to hell. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. It is a place of torture, it's a place of torment, it's a place of pain. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God have raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready? If so, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, pray and ask him to save you. Follow me in prayer. Repeat phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your 10 commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord, as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time.